I pray for Ralph as he comes to share this morning. Again, Father, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for the words and the truth that you've given him to share with us. Holy Spirit, we just open our hearts to you to be taught of you the good things of the Lord. And Father, again, as Ralph comes, we thank you for the anointing and the blessing that rests upon him. And give him clarity of thought as he shares this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Amen. Glad you're here. I've been here every day. Yesterday, we had a coordinators meeting for the FCA, and Betty's brother and sister-in-law, Dennis, and her name's Betty as well. They're coordinators for Southern Saskatchewan, but right now they're up in Inuvik. And so I didn't see Dennis. I was grumbling to Jamie because I had to be here at 9 o'clock and for this meeting. And then when Dennis's wife, Betty, gets on there from Inuvik, Dennis has been in the clinic for 2 hours already. And so they have a lot of energy. And I just thank God for them. It's kind of interesting to see the different people from BC to Ontario, because that's as far as we go right now, that are representing our fellowship. And another thing that we're, of course, planning for is the convention in May 3rd to 6th at the Chateau Lacombe in Edmonton. And I encourage you to attend that. The theme of the convention is called Going the Distance. And, you know, one of the things we talked about yesterday was just about the history. The Chateau Lacombe was named after Father Lacombe, Catholic priest. But Father Lacombe was a peacemaker. And he was great in stopping the war between the Cree and the Blackfoot. And just a number of things that he did also in helping the Métis, and one thing I didn't know until yesterday was that I knew that his body was buried in St. Albert, but the Blackfoot, when he passed away, the Blackfoot said, we want to bury his heart in Calgary, because he was a man of peace. And I'm thinking, man, I want to be a peacemaker. Amen? And so we're thinking for that, you know, that maybe this is not only just a hotel that's called after Father Lacombe, but maybe something can develop by going the distance for God, and who knows what will come out of that convention, you know? Amen. So we can only just believe God for good things. And you know, sometimes when we look at our history, it seems like everybody's digging up the crap from our history. There's a lot of good things that have happened. There's a lot of good men and women that have gone by and gone through and did things for God, did things for our country that often goes unnoticed. And blessed are the peacemakers,
yes,
for they shall inherit the earth. Boy, we need that right now.
Yeah.
Peacemakers. Anyways, okay, I better not keep going on these rabbit trails. But I like to keep you up to date on what's happening, so you know what's happening, you know what I'm involved in, you know what Shannon's involved in. And it's good. Praise God. So teach me your ways, or teach me thy ways. I guess I put the King James on there, but I have the more modern translation on my own notes. But anyways, I'm just going to piggyback off my message from 2 weeks ago called A Reason to Be Thankful. And one of the foundational scriptures from Exodus chapter 33 is where Moses said to the Lord, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord says, "I'll call my goodness. I'll cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, says the Lord, in your presence." Well, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, back in verse 13, when Moses was talking to the Lord, he said, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you." And as mentioned before, the kings of those days, in showing their glory, would usually display some type of power and would provoke fear and terror. So they could show, "This is who I am. You can follow me, you can trust me as your leader. But that's not what God said. He says, I'm not like those kings. I'm not like the gods and the pagans. I'm going to show you my goodness. And so in teaching, in wanting to know God's ways, I believe that's one of the reasons why that God said, I'm going to show you my goodness. Let my goodness pass before you. And you'll see that. And you can follow me, you can trust me that way. And God has been good ever since. He's always good.
Yeah.
And last week, Shannon shared about God's thoughts toward us. And they're all good. And his thoughts are all life-sustaining. And so I just want to remind you that not only are his thoughts good, but so are his ways. Because there's a lot of different teachings out there that go around the board and on TV and through social media that the ways of the Lord are hard. The ways of the Lord, you know, they're tough. And you might be able to know them, you might not be. But, you know, Moses found out, and hopefully you and I will find out and continue to find out about how good the ways of the Lord are. How good are his thoughts, but also his ways are good. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard.
Right.
So if the way of the transgressor is hard, then the ways of God are good. And I just want to remind you that again in this day and age, that I don't know what Moses was expecting back then. I don't know what sometimes what we expect when he asked to see God's glory, but God showed him his goodness. Now, the ways, when we look at the ways, I think I have a verse over here. Yeah. The ways means a course of life or a mode of action. So Moses was asking God, he just, can you give me your mode of action, your course of life? Like, how do you do things? I want to know how you do things. Because if I'm going to lead 3 million people, I need a helper. But also, I need to know what you're thinking, how you're doing, how do you do this? And so he showed him his goodness. Now, did God answer Moses' request? Well, we go to Psalms 103, verse 7. And it says, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Amen. So we see the goodness of God continually extended. But we see here also that there are two levels of the knowledge of God. The children of Israel saw God's acts or his deeds in the works that he did. But Moses' knowledge of God was in knowing God's ways. And that's still available for us today. And there are people that really, really want to see the acts of God, but don't really understand the ways of God. And then there's those that understand the ways of God and not so much the acts of God. But I'd like to see both of them. I want to know the ways of God, and I want to know the acts of God. But we'll see that there's a difference here. We see that there is a different outcome, even in regards to Moses and the children of Israel. When you only know the works of God, you know what God does. Your knowledge of God comes by observation. And that's what the children of Israel saw. They saw the observation. They saw the acts of God. But when you know the ways of God, you know God more deeply. There is a personal and intimate relationship developed. It is saying to God, I don't want you to just show me what you do. I want to understand what makes you operate as you operate. So it's the best English I could come up with in regards to that. Or by previous definition, I want to understand your course of life or your mode of action. What are your ways? How do you operate? Well, what else did God promise Moses? The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
He's leading 3 million people out of Egypt. And he says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Now, that's because he knew God's ways. Now, we contrast that with the children of Israel. Psalms 103, verse 9, it says, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. You know, he's slow to anger, full of love, but there came a time when they just were so rebellious that, let's see what he wrote here. We can find it in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years and saw what I did. Notice they observed, they saw the deeds of what God did. He says, that is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways. They just knew my acts. They didn't know the ways of the Lord. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And so they wandered. And, you know, the thing is that because Moses got to know the ways of God, there was a rest for him. By knowing the ways of God, the children of Israel only saw the acts of God, and all the miracles and all that did not change their heart in regards to that. They were still rebellious. Despite seeing all those deeds, they did not know God's ways. Moses knew something the rest of Israel did not know. He had insight to God's character, I believe. He knew God's ways. Even today, there is a rest for those who know God's ways. And as you read Hebrews, you'll see that there is a rest for us in Jesus. Knowing God's ways will bring us peace in a troubled and fearful world. There is a lot of difference between observing God's actions and understanding His ways. May you know both. What is another way we can have comfort, peace, or rest in knowing God's ways? Well, there's so many scriptures in regards to this, but I just picked a few. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. All the ways of the Lord.
That's right.
Praise God for that, that they're loving and faithful. You can count on them. And Betty was sharing that in worship this morning. Sometimes it's not that, you know, you want things to happen a little faster, but you know He's faithful. You know that He will show up and does show up, and He's loving. In Proverbs we read, the way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous. Yeah. Well, you are righteous this morning. So you have a refuge. Let's just check out another scripture here that's very familiar to you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, there's been a lot of things said over the years in regards to this scripture, but this is really good. This is really good because, again, it shows the ways of God are so much different, so much higher than ours. So this is now happening about 500 or 600 years down the road from Moses' thing. Israel is still frequently turning away. And they're not listening. They're not following. And so it was not logical for God to forgive Israel. You know, like, you guys keep doing this. You keep turning away from me. So Isaiah comes around and Israel. And again, when you think about what Shannon preached last week about the thoughts of God, they forgot who they were. They didn't realize who they were. They were called not to be servants. They were called to be leaders. They were called to be an example amongst all the other nations about Jehovah God. And now they were doing okay as far as, you know, physically and financially and stuff. In fact, that's what, if you read the first part of that particular chapter, it says, you guys are spending all your money and all your time on things that don't really matter, you know, that don't last, and or satisfy, I believe is one of the words there. And God had His hand out inviting them to come back to reality, to their proper identity. And Isaiah is trying to get them, come on, you guys need to go back to Jerusalem where you belong. You know, there's a place for you there. You need to reestablish yourself. And so, you know, all of these things. And so even in this, He's saying, I will abundantly pardon. I'm there for you guys. Now, for us, when we have people that are disobey us and rebel against us and are negative, we have a tendency to say, well, can you just go your way? But God's ways are so much higher. It's like He's always redemptive. Yeah. Always redemptive. He's always got His hand out there. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you're doing. I want you back because I know who you are and I have redeemed you. I redeemed you through Jesus, my Son, and come on, be who you are, be who I made you. If we have all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus, we lack nothing.
That's right.
And so, know the thoughts of God for you, but also know His ways to more than that. Is where we would write people off, He never writes us off. He won't write His own people off. And so, Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Under the new covenant, this privilege of knowing God's ways is offered to all of us. In John chapter 17, verse 3, we read, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you," this is Jesus' prayer, "the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We can know God's ways because we can know Jesus. Jesus is an exact representation of his Father. And he says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So we read about the goodness of God in the Old Testament, despite the ways of us, our wanderings. Well, we're going to find the same thing under Jesus Christ. In fact, the very familiar scripture, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, I just quoted that. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. What were the early church believers called? They were called followers of the way, because they knew the way. They knew who the way was, because now it was Jesus. And it was kind of a, we were called Christians, that was kind of a nickname given to us by pagans, but we still hang on to that today. But they were called the way. There's comfort and peace in knowing and believing God's thoughts towards us. There's comfort and peace in knowing God's way towards us. Very important. You know, I heard a comment this past week that I thought, I thought that was a myth that was dead and buried years ago. Because you're not going to find this in Scripture. You're not going to find it in history. You can talk to shepherds. But this idea that, you know, if a sheep wanders too many times, well, the shepherd will just take it and break its leg. It's like, how can we preach that? Like, I thought that was dead buried. You won't find it anywhere. What does Jesus do? He leaves the 99 to go find the lost one. No matter how many times he's wandered, and he puts it on his shoulders and he carries it. Old Testament, he leads tenderly those with young. It's like, where do we get this mean God business? Some preacher thought it up. You know, you become like the God you believe in. If you think God's mean, it's like this makes no point. In the 23rd Psalm, he leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. How can you lead sheep? You have to lead sheep from place to place if half of them got broken legs. It's like, it makes no sense. God's thoughts towards you are good.
That's right.
And his ways towards you are good. And I don't care what the world says, I'm going to believe God, because his report is what's true.
That's right.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's comfort, as I said, in knowing and believing God's thoughts towards me. There's comfort and peace in knowing God's way towards us. And you know, as he gave Moses rest, I mean, Moses didn't get it all right. We don't even get it all right. But there was that promise of rest amidst 3 million people who weren't at rest. Well, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. just continue to trust and believe God. And shut off the TV and look at his word, and just fill your life with all of the good things, all the promises of God, because, man, we need to be salt and light in this day as never before. Amen. Father, I just thank you for each one here, Lord. I thank you for your blessing upon each one. I thank you for your thoughts towards us. I thank you for your ways. And Lord, that's just something we want to grow more in. Show us your ways. Because there's so much misrepresentation of you out there, we want to know you for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we thank you that you lead us by your Holy Spirit as individuals, as families, and as a church. In Jesus' name.